15 days to the opening day of the Arlington fly-in, we get an update. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Barbara Tolbert, who is the executive director of the Arlington fly-in. And we've got just a couple of weeks to go before the event, which is going to be July 9th through the 13th. And Barbara, that's a Wednesday.
It starts on a Wednesday and it runs through Sunday.
Okay. Arlington, Washington is near Seattle, and there's a lot of rich aviation heritage there. I did not realize, though, until you told me a few minutes ago, that the Arlington fly-in stems from an event that goes back four decades.
That's true. This will be the 40th anniversary celebration of an event on the Arlington Airport, which, as you said, is just 16 miles north of Seattle in a very aviation-rich area for our heritage. There's been a general aviation event on this airport 39 of those 40 years.
Was the summer after 9/11 the one that was missed?
No, actually, it was 1983 was the year that it wasn't. And the event was held, but it moved up one county north to Skagit Valley Airport. Part of that was the event used to be held on the east side of the Arlington Airport, for those who are familiar. For those who aren't, Arlington Airport is one of those airports that was a naval training facility in World War II and was deeded to the city of Arlington in the early 1950s.
Well, cities have had varying degrees of success turning deeded airports into something lasting, and Arlington seems to be one of the good ones.
It actually does. I think the city here is very proud of their airport, very protective of it. They've done a really good job from a fiscal management point of view, and they're extremely proud to boast about the Arlington fly-in.
Now, this is like a number of events around the country that have had at one time or another an association with local EAA chapters as organizers. But this event now has been an independent event. I mean, people think of it as having just gone independent in the last couple of years because of the name change. But this actually went independent back in the early 80s.
That's very true. In the early 80s, it incorporated as its own Washington State organization, nonprofit organization, to promote aviation education in the Northwest. We've had a wonderful relationship with EAA over that period of time, and that continues today. That relationship, in terms of the definition of it, changes as both organizations grow and mature.
All right. Now, everybody knows about Boeing being in the Seattle area. At least has a manufacturing presence there. Their corporate offices aren't there anymore. But what else is in the Seattle area, the greater Seattle area, from an aviation standpoint, and how has it influenced how the event has developed a character over the years?
Well, Arlington Airport was the home and still is to Glass Air Aviation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a number of general aviation fields in Western Washington, anywhere from Boeing Field all the way up to Arlington. We have the Paul Allen Collection of Airplanes called the Flying Heritage Collection, just recently opened in a new renovated facility on Payne Field.
And that is going to be, if I understand correctly, an active flying exhibit that people can come and watch vintage warbirds in the air most weekends.
Absolutely. And they usually come to the fly-in. They've been here the past couple years. Every other weekend, they have fly dates, as they call them. And they take various aircraft out, and you can watch them fly.
All right. Well, with even the rich background that Boeing has in the warbird area, have warbirds always been a big part of this show? And are they still? I know that some places are struggling with fuel costs to get the warbirds even in the air.
That's very true. We are going to have warbirds. We're fortunate enough to partner up with the Cascade Warbirds here. It's an EAA warbird squadron out of Seattle. And they also are pretty rich in their associations. They have an association with the Puget Sound Military Vehicle Collectors Club. They put on quite a display out of Arlington. They build an area that looks similar to a World War II Pacific Air Base. They call it AWO Island. And in fact, this year they're taking it a step further in their theme. We have a World War II building here on the airport that was going to be demolished this fall. The city gave us permission to go in and recover some of the old timbers used in building this building. And they built a replica of a World War II Pacific Air Traffic Control Tower to display in their area out of period materials.
That is amazing.
It'll be quite something.
that almost sounds like something the McMenamin brothers would do when they're putting a restaurant together.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about the camping situation before we take our break, and then I want to come back and talk about some of the unique events at this year's show. This is in every sense, a true fly-in, where if you want to fly in and camp under the wing, you can do that.
Absolutely. We highly encourage it. We have both types of camping. If you want to fly in, camp under the wing, put your tent out, we'll provide the facilities. There's shower buildings and so forth for you. If you don't have an airplane right now or you're in between them, bring the RV or the tent. We have a campground that's right inside the showgrounds.
And you have the third kind of camping, too. I notice a link on your webpage for hotels.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a link on the webpage that will take you to all the local area hotels. And for those that fly on floats, there's an EA chapter that's holding a splash-in at a lake that's just a couple miles from here, and they'll run transportation between the two, and they have a beautiful campground there as well.
Okay, is that the Western Seaplane Association?
That's the Washington Seaplane Association.
Okay. All right, and there'll be a shuttle, so if someone wants to splash in and then come to the main event, they can get a ride.
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Arlington Fly-In in a moment with my guest, Barbara Tolbert, who's the executive director of the event. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt talking with Barbara Tolbert, Executive Director of the Arlington Fly-In. This year's event is coming up Wednesday through Sunday, July 9th through the 13th, just a few days away, and we wanted to get Barb on the line here and talk about some things you will see at this event that you might not see at all of them. Barbara, one of the things that's right near the top of your webpage is a hot air balloon night glow that happens the Saturday night of the event at dusk. Tell us how that event developed, and does it cause any particular issues in organizing an event where other kinds of aircraft are in use in the area?
No, actually it doesn't. That's one of the things, I think it came to us because the unique nature of the Arlington Airport as a general aviation airport the rest of the year. This airport normally has balloons, ultralights, LSAs, gliders, Alpha jets, home builds, flying off it all year long.
Mm-hmm.
So people are very adept at how to use the airspace here. The hot air balloons, we met them when they were flying. They frequently come out early in the mornings on the weekends to take a flight around the airport. They love the event, too. So they come in. The only problem we ever have is we have to be careful of the winds. The conditions have to be just right, and that happens here every night just after dusk.
Well, it's nice you can count on that.
It is.
That's not the kind of weather you usually associate with being able to count on in the Seattle area, but it's very nice that you have it for the event.
No, and if they come in a little bit early on Saturday, just before the balloon glow, we have an Army Reserve band that's coming in. They will be disbanding the Army Reserve bands this year.
Oh.
Because the military is stretched a little bit, as most of us know.
Mm-hmm.
So the Army Reserve band is sort of doing a farewell tour, and they're going to do a concert that will be a retrospective of music from every era that the Army Reserve band has been around that we've been in conflict with, so from World War II to current day.
Wow, that'll be a great show.
I think so.
All right, on Friday night, there is a fireworks, air show, and concert. Tell us about that part of the event.
That, too, is another pretty spectacular event. If you haven't had a chance to see a night air show, you really have to find a place to see one of those. They're quite different. Fireworks air show is the best I can explain it. That happens Friday night, again, at dusk. And just before then, we have a wonderful Mukilteo Outrageous Jazz Orchestra that comes in.
Oh, cool.
Courtesy of one of our local pilots who's a sponsor of that event.
That'll be very fun. I know I've talked to some pilots who've flown other air shows at doing night aerobatic routines with fireworks, and I think it's as unique for them as it is for the crowd, but it certainly is a unique thing to see.
You have to admire the pilots who fly the night aerobatic air shows.
Yes. Well, okay, on Sunday, you have something not strictly aviation related, but the Walter P. Chrysler Club is going to put on a show there on Sunday. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and you know, as with everything in the Northwest, there is an aviation link to this.
Mm-hmm.
The head of this particular chapter of this Walter P. Chrysler Club here in Seattle is the family of the CEO of Boeing Aircraft Company. One's into airplanes, the other half is into cars. And so they come out and they put their cars on display. These are cars that have been meticulously cared for, lovingly restored, all of the same things you'll see in a home builder or an aircraft restorer.
Well,
you'll admire the handiwork and the expertise that went into it.
I know that that the home built movement has leaned heavily on automotive technology over time. In fact, one of the things that was told me by a home builder was that one of the great things about building a home built aircraft was that you could buy parts at NAPA, which of course is the National Aircraft Parts Association.
Exactly.
So there is lots of crossover, and I know that especially among experimenters in aviation, automotive power plant conversions and other technologies have found their way over.
Yes, and that makes a nice addition to Sunday. Sunday is our salute to the men and women who've served our country in the armed services. And so we call it our Veterans Day. The whole day is built around a veteran salute. So we have some different displays that come in, and we will be doing a marching parade with antique military vehicles and the Army Reserve Band and warbirds down the flight line to honor our veterans at the beginning of the air show.
Now, you're going to have a B-25 on display there and also have rides available. And I understand one of the area casinos stepped up to sponsor that particular attraction.
They did. They did. Angel of the Winds came in to sponsor that. We're very excited. Pacific Prowler is coming in. It's a beautiful restored B-25 that has quite a history to it. People can look at our website and see that. And if they're interested in having a flight experience in the B-25, there's some information there as well. And not just the B-25, we also have biplane rides and helicopter rides as well.
Barb, it sounds like you've put together another terrific event. I know it has a different flavor from any of the other regional type events that I've been to, and I think it's going to be great. I look forward to seeing it. Now, there is still some time left for people to buy advanced ticket sales at the discount price through the website.
There are. That's one of the things we want to let people know is that, you know, we're all facing rising prices everywhere, but we have offered those who want to purchase in advance both the camping and their tickets, whether they fly in or drive in, they can go to the website, arlingtonflyin.org, and purchase those tickets in advance, and they'll be waiting for them under their name when they arrive.
All right. We'll have a link to the event's website from wherever people found this interview, too. Well, Barbara, we really appreciate you taking a few minutes out of the last-minute crunch here to speak with our listeners. Have a great, safe event this year, and we'll hope to see you there.
Thank you, Paul. Look forward to seeing you again.
My guest has been Barb Tolbert, who is the executive director of the Arlington Fly-In, which happens July 9th through the 13th. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. You can find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.